Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 182 of Her, the podcast where, well, you're going to hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her transformation. Well, you know, this is going to be an amazing episode, and it's going to be with one of my most favorite people ever, and so I'm looking forward to sharing all of this with you. And right before we begin, just know that it's made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils, customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's your first official reminder to click on to iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show, because I sit here with my team just looking forward to your feedback. Love to hear from you. We'll give you another reminder later on. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
Raise your hand if you've ever watched The Biggest Loser. Yep, just about everybody. That's what I thought. Well, I'll bet you that so many of you, if not the mass majority, remember one particular person, Tara Costa, from the season that it was season 7, where she was able to show that where there's a will, there's a way. During her 18 weeks on campus, Costa never fell below the yellow line. You know what that means. She won a record-setting 8 challenges, the most of any contestant in show history. And, you know, she didn't just make show history, but she dramatically pulled a car during one challenge, demonstrating her determination weekly and inspiring millions with her heart, spirit, and gosh, all that strength. And you know, she dropped over 150 pounds as she was off track, no question about it. And this was an extraordinary transformation that's gonna, you know, really, as we share where she is today, is gonna take you to a place you probably didn't even expect. So many people who were contestants on The Biggest Loser struggled afterwards. And Tara was certainly one of their biggest celebrities. The question was, what happened with Tara afterwards? And she's kept up with so many people out there as she has gone through a transformation that has included athletics, being a triathlete, and all of her work inspiring at the Biggest Loser camps and the boot camps, and even more. And then an interesting twist where she is today and how she's taken all of this and put it into another new reinvention for herself. So somewhere along the line in all of that, when I wrote my book, The Hunger Fix, all about food and addiction, I had the utter pleasure of actually meeting Tara when we were about ready to prep for the More Magazine half marathon in Central Park. And there she was, as tall as I am, I might add. And she just commands an incredible presence when she walks into a room, very strong mind, body, and spirit. And we immediately connected, and everything after that was history. She appeared on television with me. She's worked with me with my book, and really helped to message and inspire. And it's given me nothing but pleasure to watch her as she continues to go through her transformations and inspiring. So how do you like that for an intro, Tara?
I have to say, I've never had that adventure before in my life. Thank you so much. I adore you as well.
Oh, my goodness. I just had to do that. That was just so important. So, Tara, welcome to the Her podcast, for crying out loud.
Oh, I'll tell you, Dr. Peek, you definitely are the one that knows how to go above and beyond, so I wouldn't expect anything less from you.
You're so cute. So, you know, so many people out there, you know, are wondering, you know, if they've been following you, they understand that, you know, you have really rocked and rolled since all of this ended, in terms of the show, and your work with them, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's interesting that people are trying to figure out how come you succeeded? How come you not only transformed, but you also have sustained it? Can you explain that part of your transformation journey?
I can. When I was at my lowest, and my lowest when I was 316 pounds and I was rejected from a New York City nightclub where the bouncer was letting all my girlfriends blow through the club's pearly gates, and he got to me and he said, "Sorry, skinny VIPs only." That was my rejection moment, and that was my flip of the light switch and my aha moment, as you would call it. At that point, I realized that I needed a change, and going on the show The Biggest Loser just happened to be my golden ticket. But I will tell you, when I was finally on that show and I realized the magnitude that I had, I realized the gift that I was given. And at that point, I promised myself that I will help anyone and everyone never feel the way that I felt about myself. And that's when I realized I wanted to inspire change within others. And I've held that core belief so close to me that that's why every single thing I do is stemming from that. And now I'm happy to say that as I have grown, I've stayed within the fitness industry. I've stayed, you know, teaching youth and being a teacher, as well as trying to instill that within my own family and my daughter now. And that's just how I live my life. So holding on to those values and setting them as a precedent of this is who you are and every single step of what it's going to take you to be, that's what's important. And I think that's how I've really been able to maintain it.
Why is someone like yourself in the minority after that show? So, the majority of these people who were contestants gained the weight back. What happened?
Well, Dr. Peek, it's not like I haven't struggled, though, as well, right? Life has its detours, and everyone has their own struggles. I mean, I gave birth 8 months ago, and am I where I want to be right now? Absolutely not, you know? But it's one of those things where I don't dictate my success by a scale anymore. I have non-scale victories. I have a reasonableness check of, you know, and right now what I'm doing, is it normal? You know, because I did come from an addictive behavior and patterns and would be able to polish off an entire bag of chips and eat an entire pint of Ben and Jerry's. So it's bringing it to a normalcy and realizing that my life is not what it once was. And I'm so much better off. I'm able to experience life now and live a different way and practicing a sense of gratitude for people and for myself and my own wins, and realizing that a loss is a setback for the day, not for my entire, you know, 6 weeks, because so many of us start something, you fall off the wagon one time, and you never start again.
Huh. And it's one of those situations that you must look around you today when the majority of Americans are overweight or obese, meaning that they carry at least 50 extra pounds on board. And you've lived this. You worked every day to pay attention to this in your own life. And you also want to teach and inspire to be able to help people on their journey based upon your own experience. So what things do you do now to help other people to be able to stay on track? Everything now, this life after The Biggest Loser, what kinds of things do you do now to really almost help support yourself as you message to other people? It's kind of a win-win. It keeps you very aware of what you need to stay on top of as well. So what kind of things are you doing?
So that's very true. And as much as it's helping me, I do know that it's helping other people. I'm a big believer in community, and we always rise by lifting others. So the one thing that I really have set my mind to after the show was continually trying to help others, you know, become
marathon runners, help people lose 150 pounds, help people find themselves again and help them, you know, what makes them tick and what makes them happy, and set goals again. So as I was doing that for other people, I realized for myself, well, if I'm going to do this for them, I have to continually focus on me as well. At that point, I started doing some research and I said, well, how can I stay in this fitness industry and get behind something that I really believe in? And that's when I actually ended up taking my first Orange Theory fitness class. And I'm proud to say that I am a current franchise owner of an Orange Theory. And it is a place where people come together. They are passionate people. They are kind people. They cheer you on during a workout class. And it is that community. It is everyone supporting each other. It does feel like I have my people with me every single day when I'm working out that were with me on the ranch, because we would always support each other. So now, once again, as you would say, Dr. Peak, I found another tribe. I have that community.
Oh, I love it.
People uplift each other. And that's exactly why I wanted to invest my entire life savings, why I wanted to take this big leap of faith into something, because I believed in it. And Orange Theory, our mission is to help people live a life of more. Our hashtag is more life. And it is. It's about inspiring others with me always. And this is now about more life for people, allowing them to experience life in a different way. And we get that to happen for people. That to me is
and
amazing.
So and so now, well, after your show, you know, you decided to really get into the business of fitness and of community and of tribes, as it were, and to literally put your best foot forward, invest your savings, and just get in there. And I know you have partners, et cetera. What's it been like now? You know, here you are. It's really quite fascinating. You know, you've taken this to a different level. So if you have a franchise with Orange Theory, what you're doing now is you're continuing the same fitness message, but in a very in a different way now. This is one where you can control a lot more of what's going on at that club, know those members and the managers and everyone else. This is a really interesting nuance to all of this that must also, you know, flash back to you. How important it is you stay on track, because after all, you're the inspiration. Does that make sense?
It is the inspiration, but I've always been very authentic with people's struggle. You know, when I get in there and I work out and I'm struggling, you know, my first times of, you know, after my having my baby and not being allowed to work out, coming back, that's okay. We're people. We all start somewhere, you know, so I don't see it as I need to hold myself on this pedestal. I'm just like any other person trying to become better every single day. And if I continue along that path and not pretend to be something that I'm not, you know, like everybody, you have your ups and downs, then it keeps me in check to continually do more. I'm not above anybody else when it comes to fitness. I don't have a magic pill to take. When it comes to business, let me tell you, it's hard. You know, you're being a manager, you want to treat people the right way. And that's still how I also manage, right? You try to treat people the same way and the correct way. You know, I always think back to it, well, how would I want my daughter to be treated if she was this person's age? How can you inspire them to become better, human, let alone also a worker? You know, because realistically, Dr. Peak, all the people that I have on my staff and all the members that come through our doors, our purpose is to help them to become more. So if I can do that for my members, but I can't do it for my staff, then what does that say about me as a person? So I
gotcha.
Keep on saying those type of things, and I want to meet them and try to help them excel in what they're trying to achieve. I mean, just the other day, one of our head coach, she lost her mother to cancer, and her aunt is a survivor of breast cancer. She raised within the studio over, you know, $6,000 almost for breast cancer awareness. By having a community and something that was near and dear to her heart. So obviously, yes, we're all going to support her.
One of the nice things I think about with the kind of business that you're doing now, which is more boutique business. It's not a big box is what we call it. You're one of the big monster health clubs where you really have a very different sense of a kind of community. is that you have that opportunity to know each other well enough to be able to pull off something, like you just said, for the fundraising for breast cancer. And if anything, it's kind of neat. It's a new trend in the United States to have more of these smaller, again, more concentrated, focused type of boutique physical activity places like Orange Theory. Why don't you try to tell everybody about Orange Theory a little bit? Because I know a lot of people may not have gone to an Orange Theory yet.
Absolutely. So, well, one, Orange Theory is absolutely growing. There's over 1,000 U.S. locations right now, and it's actually a global brand. I know Australia, they're popping up left and right over there. It is a one-hour full-body workout that focuses on endurance, strength, and power. We actually utilize a heart rate monitor technology, so you're able to see your results live on the screens in front of you. So there is actually TV monitors placed throughout the workout room, and you can look up and you can see, you know, where your heart rate is. The coach is then utilizing your heart rate to effectively coach you through the 5 heart rate zones, focusing on the orange and red zone, right? So the coach is then ensuring that you're not overtraining, undertraining, and that you're meeting the person where they currently are. That's what I truly love about it, Dr. Peak, is think about it. I came from being 316 pounds. If you threw me into a boutique fitness class like a Barry's boot camp at that time, I could never do it, right? I would start throwing up. I wouldn't be able to do it. It would be like my first day with Jillian on the show. I was puking in buckets, you know. But with Orange Theory, if you're a power walker, you can come in. You can be walking on the incline. If the coach sees that your heart rate is incredibly elevated for the majority of the class, they're going to come over to you and say, hey, can you talk to me for a little bit? How are you feeling? And they're going to check in with you. So it's safe and effective. And once again, you can have a marathon runner, you can have an Ironman in there, and you can have someone who just came off the couch just trying to walk and trying to get there. And to me, as a coach myself, as somebody who's been at both ends of the spectrum, that's imperative. To be able to be all-encompassing and welcoming, that's why I love it.
Interesting. You know, the thing I like about it, obviously, is I put my little hat on as a fellow of the American College of Sports Medicine. I love the fact that you're working with heart rate. How many people go to the gym? Come on now. And you put out like zero effort and your heart rate barely bumps. And you're going, well, at least I went to the gym. No, you didn't. You did the zombie walk on the treadmill. Come on now. So yeah. The heart rate kind of keeps you honest. Right?
Exactly. Or you walk into a gym. Yeah, absolutely. You walk into a gym and you don't know, you know, you're moseying about because you don't really know what to do. You know, you're watching other people. You try to do a little bit of a circuit, but you don't really know. With an Orange Theory, you walk in. Our program is designed by exercise physiologists. There's an entire team in Boca Raton, Florida, who's amazingly putting this together. They test it out before it gets released to the network. They're making sure that it's exactly what it needs to be and can meet our members. And so you come in, you get 60 minutes, you're in, you're out, you had a great workout, you know, and you feel like you accomplished something versus, you know, pondering about in a big box gym for 60 minutes and saying, okay, that sounds good. I'm going to leave now.
Or sometimes I watch people who are absolute novices. It makes me cringe when they come in and then they way overdo it, way over. I mean, doing just crazy stuff. They just jump right into a high-intensity interval training, and they have never done one before, and they're just all over the place. And, of course, do you think they're ever going to come back? No. It was a horrible experience, but they thought that that's what's going to happen. What's really important is getting the appropriate guidance and fact-based guidance, not just something you read on the internet. That's what one of the reasons why when you told me you were going to get an Orange Theory franchise, I was like, okay, you know, that really has an excellent basis behind it. And, you know, again, it's smaller and it's more, again, of a tight-knit community type thing. I mean, you see a lot of different options out there, Pure Bar, all the rest of it. Orange Theory came along and really worked on the issue of that heart rate variability. And so I love that. That works well for me. And I'm glad to see you're in it. Plus, again, you know, it keeps you attentive, doesn't it, Tara? You know, to your own journey.
It does.
You know, you said something that was so important. You said, hey, all right, I did drop a a load of weight. It was quite an experience. And quite frankly, Tara, you know, having had the utter pleasure of meeting you and working with you, I'm here to tell everyone out there in her podcast land, if you think that I'm a mesomorph and a muscular person as a triathlete, I'm nothing compared to Tara. She is probably one of the most blessed in terms of her body composition. She has ridiculous muscles. I would never take her on under any circumstances. Oh, my God. And, you know, you took all that. And you made the best of it with your athleticism, including doing the Ironman triathlon in Kona. And at the same time, you know, you said yourself, every day you have to pay attention. You have to stay on top of it because nothing's perfect here. Weight fluctuates somewhat. You've got, you know, pregnancy weight. You've got stress weight. You've got all kinds of stuff. All of us do. Every one of us does. And the reality check is if you're not on top of it, and if you're not really living a lifestyle with practices, nutrition practices, physical activity practices, de-stressing practices, sleep practices, you know, self-checking in, meditative, otherwise practices, you know, this is going to be a hell of a struggle. You're not going to be able to make it.
Absolutely.
You know, and you got to do a gut check and a reality check. And if you don't have that as a foundation, good luck trying to stay successful. I don't care where you are right now in your journey. You need all of those elements. And everything's changing. You graced me with that beautiful picture of you and your daughter, your little baby. And I was like, oh, my God. Just beautiful. I was so joyful for you. And, you know, you're going to be training her too. She's going to watch what you do.
That's exactly it. So as time has went on from the show, The Biggest Loser, and then really, really trying to hone in on what my new normal is. And just like everything else, my new normal was different when it was just me, right? I had the opportunity and the time to compete in Ironman. You know, and it wasn't a big deal. You know, the real aspect of having a full-time job, being a mother, plus completing an Ironman, well, my hats go off to those women who have tackled that, because that to me is just, that's something else. That's an added element where right now it's hard enough, you know, having a job, you know, being a teacher, you know, investing in a business, being a point person for that, then trying to spend as much time as I can with my daughter, being a great wife, having time for yourself. There's all these buckets that need to be filled, right? And how do you fill them all? And that's why it's so important to truly find your balance and find a little slice of something for you, whatever it may be for any person. It might not always be fitness for somebody. For me, it just happens to be that. That's why I've tried to mold two things in one so I can easily, you know, go to work, have a workout, and get both my tubs full.
You know, it's interesting. You said that word balance. I know that word is very important to you. And a lot of, you know, it's contentious. A lot of people out there from multiple sectors say there is no balance. You can't possibly balance all this. So, you know, my response to that is, how are you defining balance? You know, I think a lot of people think it's like 50-50 or, you know, there's some neat numbers involved here. That's not the way I define it, but I'm going to shut up here and I'm going to ask you to define it and tell us how you do it.
Well, I will tell you, that's actually a very difficult question. I know when I'm not balanced because my husband lets me know it, for sure. And
how does he let you know?
He can immediately tell. He can see when something is off, you know, so he is always my check. And I think I've learned that certain days I need to just shut it down. You know, I need to have downtime. I've realized that, you know, by 8 o'clock at night, you know, when my daughter's asleep and normally I would go back to potentially checking something, I put my phone away, put it on the charger and I don't even look at it. And that's my time to just completely disconnect. Fitness for me may be different. It may not be always, let's say, an OTF workout. It may also be, you know, taking my daughter for a 5K, you know, going out there and doing a little bit of a run walk with her and meeting myself right now with where I am and what I can actually do and not be so stressed out that thinking, oh, I used to be able to run, you know, 16 miles, no problem. Well, that's just not right now. It's not to say that it's never going to not happen again. I'm sure it will. But right now it's not in my cards and that's okay. And I think it's allowing acceptance of saying like, it's okay not to do everything that you once did and be appreciative for all the great things that you currently have. And I think staying in a mindset of gratitude alleviates some of the pressure, which then aids in balancing, if that kind of makes sense.
Oh, it makes all the sense in the world. I just think that, you know, when I hear the word balance, all you know what it really means to me is a wake-up call. Are you really sitting down every day and prioritizing the right stuff, right? So, you know, when we all get caught up in our business world and our professional world, sometimes, you know, we let this whole family and personal end, you know, fall off our radar screen. And I think that, you know, sometimes it doesn't take much. It's not like you have to spend 5 hours, you know, exactly with the family every day. It's just enough to be able to provide joy for you, at the same time meet your obligations. And, you know, what your balance may be very different than the next person's. But it's got to be something that works for you and your loving family and the people around you. It's just got to work for you. And you kind of define that almost every day of your life. Part of it is just paying attention, right? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. No, it is. And I will tell you, Dusty, it was very difficult for me to get pregnant with my daughter. Even now, with trying to have another child, it's very difficult. So there's not, knowing how hard it was for me, it's not something that, it makes you realize the appreciation a little bit easier. You know, because it was so difficult that I'm not going to let, you know, a few hours go by where I'm not reaching out to try to, you know, see a picture of her or, you know, see, you know, learn about something funny or just want to see her smile. Because I'm considered myself, there's so many people who aren't able to get pregnant, who aren't even lucky enough. I know how long I struggled. So therefore, I can't take that for granted now. So I just refuse to. And it really does help prioritize yourself. But you are right. It's an internal check every single day and really saying, well, what's the most important thing to you? What fills your soul? You know, and that's why everything that I do, it stems from, well, how can I help others become better? That fills me up. How can I better the life of my husband? How can I better the life of my mother, my daughter, my brother, the people that I work with? What does that look like? How do you meet somebody where they are and say, we can help you become more? Just give us a chance. And that stems in every single thing I do. And then I stop and I say, okay, I'm helping people change. To me, that's it's just like you. What an amazing business to be in. How gratifying it is that you can help someone change their life at the same time of making a good paycheck. Well, that's awesome. Job well done. And I pat myself on the back and I say, I hope my daughter is going to get, you know, the same enjoyment out of life that I'm getting from my job.
Exactly. And you know, there's something else that's going on, too, that's really, you know, I remember I had this discussion with you because I know a lot of people out there are going, I remember the gorgeous blonde. Yeah, Tara Costa. And all those seasons with The Biggest Loser and the rest of it. How did she really make it possible to sustain, you know, all of that transformation she went through? And what was going on with that? And I think one of the most sobering conversations we had when my book came out, which talked about this whole issue, is the fact that what happened to you is really involves a lifetime of recovery. It's a lifetime. If you remember, you know, how people classically think, they say, well, that's done, I'm fine, and just move on. No, you're not. You're permanently changed. When you went to 316 pounds, you know, you're permanently changed. You're a different person in terms of, not in terms of, you know, I mean, your DNA and your basic, but there were a lot of metabolic changes that took place. When you shed all that weight, those metabolic changes were altered very dramatically once again. And to keep it like that requires vigilance, paying attention, being aware, mindfulness, maintaining a foundation of practice, lifestyle practice, which again involves all the elements I spoke to you about before. But what are the things I've watched you do, which is really important, is that it's sort of a see one, do one, teach one, right? So, you know, you're now at this really all-important part of your life where you're telling people, this is a lifelong journey, people. You know, we're all in some level of recovery from something in our lives or we haven't lived. But especially when it involves something like you went through, Tara, it requires daily attention. Not crazy or not overly, overly.
No. Well, it's because old habits die hard.
There you go.
You know, 100%. That's just the case of anyone struggling with anything. You know, it is difficult to overcome demons. You know, and as silly as, you know, a Dunkin' Donuts donut may be for some people, you know, that could be a vice. So it's not a matter of now for me. You know, I had my red light foods. I went through all of that. I have my yellow light foods and my green light foods of, you know, for those of you who do not know what that means, is the red light foods were the foods that I could never, ever touch. If I touched them, I know that I would just eat the entire bag. Then the yellow light foods were the ones where, like, all right, maybe I can keep this in the house. Little cautionary tale. And then the green ones, the green foods are the ones that I would put directly in front of me. I know that I would never overeat or overindulge on them. So when I would open up my refrigerator, I would have every single green light food right in front of me. And then the yellow light foods would be like in the pullout drawers. And then my red light foods would either have to be like, you know, not available in the house, and I would have to go out and get them if I really needed it. I still have that same practice where all my healthy things, and I'm still a person who still does, you know, my grocery shopping on a Sunday. I use some of the delivery services to make sure I'm getting everything. I have things that are my go-to at all times. So I'm not ever really caught all the time in a, uh-oh, what am I going to do? And then stress out about it and then do the takeout thing anymore. So I have really changed on that. And that's something that I still practice. But I mean, like anything, it's a pain in the butt. You know, Sundays, getting everything ready. What crock pot recipe am I going to make? You know, who's going to be home? What's going to happen here? But that's life for everybody. It takes time.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And one of the things that I love more than anything else is the fact that you're so real and authentic about this entire process. I can't thank you enough for that, because I know for a fact that you're touching so many people's lives, both with, you know, your wonderful team, Tara, and the work you're doing with Orange Theory, the people you personally coach, the students that you teach. These are all different platforms for you messaging exactly what you just said, which is basically, how do you take care of yourself in an authentic, you know, reality-based way? But you just have to slug it out. And there's no shirking any of this. And there's no, I've arrived. There is no arrival. This is part of a journey. Yeah. It's a process. And you just keep this sucker going, right?
Well,
forever.
It's a beautiful process. It's an absolutely beautiful process. I wouldn't change anything for anything. You know, the highs, the lows, it's what has allowed me to meet the man of my dreams. It's allowed me to have a beautiful daughter, meet amazing people as such as yourself. You know, I wouldn't change it at all, the highs and the lows, just because that builds character, that builds who I am. And I do have faith in myself and my own abilities that everything will always be okay.
Yep, yep. And this is why, I mean, you should be so flippin' proud of you. I certainly am, of all that you've accomplished and confronting these ongoing challenges. The other thing is that there's so many people who aspire to achieve as you have achieved, both personally and professionally. You're putting it together, you're paying the price. It's a a lot of body dollars you're sweating out there. But you're doing it. You're living it. It is a rich and a very joyful adventure at the end of the day. And that's because you're allowing it to happen. So, you know, I'm thrilled to hear your voice as you go through all this. I want you to tell people, you know, certainly those who want to maybe reconnecting with you now that they've heard about your next reinvention here and want to be able to learn more about where you're at now. What's the best way for them to stay in touch with you, Tara?
They are more than welcome to reach out to me on Instagram and the public Facebook page. Absolutely.
Okay, so how do they do that? Is there a website, Twitter? How do they do that? Tell them.
Well, on Instagram, it's the handle @Tara_Casa. And on Facebook, it's Tara_Casa as well, /.
Okay, and how about a website?
Website, they can check out TaraCasa.com. There's some stuff on there. It hasn't really been updated because I have been busy with other things. But once again, any message that goes through there, I generally will always end up receiving it. Maybe not in a moment's time, but probably within a week's time.
Cool. So again, that's Tara. That's TaraCasa, CoSTA.com. You know, really keep that in mind. And, you know, with the Twitter, it's @Tara_Casa, and Facebook.com, that's going to be Tara Casa, a Biggest Loser as well, and the Instagram. So I'm thrilled to be able to offer people ways to stay in touch with you and be part of Team Tara, you know, as you go forward in your life, continuing to inspire and teach, because there's so much going on. And as you push forth, now that you have that beautiful daughter, and I'm crossing my fingers for the next one, you'll have so much more to talk about. As you combine and really add parenthood to all of this as well. So this is just amazing. Any last point of inspiration, you know, for folk out there who are listening?
Yes, I will tell you that it always seems hard until it's done. People have a tendency to put huge roadblocks in front of them where it doesn't have to change immediately. One small step every single day will get you still where you need to go. Just don't get overwhelmed. Don't give up on yourself before you started, and just try.
I love it. One step I'll take. There you go. And it's a small one, too. And each one of those is a personal triumph. So, you know, give yourself some credit here. I just absolutely love this. Tara, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your experience and your transformation with all of our Her podcast listeners.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dr. Peek. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have you on again and again. I can't get enough of this. It works for me and everyone out there. You've heard Tara Casa. Oh my gosh. Now you get your update on her incredible life, and her words of wisdom, quite frankly, and they're amazing and they're priceless. So run on over to iTunes right now and rate and review the show, because I want to hear what you have to say about it. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and I'm host of the Her Podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every single episode of the Her Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today, and stay well.